Welcome to the Brett Chappell Show, brought to you this morning by Hometown Hardware, Haywood Regional Medical Center, Smathers & Smathers Attorneys at Law, Fiske Family Barbershop, and by Hometown Wellness. Here's your radio voice of the Bears, Chad Upton, and Fiske head coach, Brett Chappell.
From Riverview Farm and Garden this morning, this is the Brett Chappell Show, along with head football coach at Pisgah, Brett Chappell. This is Chad Upton. Last night, Pisgah takes on Pickens County, a team that came into this game last night 2-0 on the season, obviously, you know, with wins down in upstate South Carolina. Of course, we knew that we'd have our work cut out for us, coach. Got down 14-0 in that first quarter, but from there on out, it was all Pisgah on both sides of the football. And I'm sure you feel really good about the effort last night. I think the other thing, too, I thought about this on the way home. You know, it's good, I think, for your kids to have the opportunity to have a little bit of adversity. And there certainly was a little bit of adversity in that first quarter. Like I said, down 14-0, but you clawed back and finished awfully, awfully strong.
We did. You know, the one thing we talked about at the end of the game, it was, we got punched in the mouth early. And it was nice to see that, you know, our kids were able to come right back, get up off the mat, you'd say, and get back after it. Getting down 14-0, you almost blink, and it was, man, how did that happen? The long drive, obviously, by Pickens, and then we had the turnover. It was a scoop and a score. And, you know, momentum was certainly on their side, and we just slow and steadily got moved back into the game. I thought the stand right there before halftime was huge to keep them from getting any points going into halftime, keeping it tied up 14-14, so I thought we had the momentum, you know, going into that second half. And then our first two possessions on offense in that second half were both long touchdowns. So felt like that we found a couple of things that we could work with, and they made some really good adjustments defensively as well. But a really good football program in Pickens. We knew they were going to be just how they played. They're very similar to South Point that we played a few years ago, and just downhill, you know, come at you, satisfied with 3 and 4 yards, and yeah. Really took it to us, when you look at the long drives. But defense, which is, you know, we've been notorious for, and doing such a good job of keeping them out of the end zone once they get down there. And certainly we saw that again last night and had some really big fourth down stops.
Yeah.
If I counted right, I think we had 5 fourth down stops. We were kind of laughing about it. I don't know if their punter was hurt or they just didn't want to punt, but
they sure didn't.
They certainly went for a lot of fourth down.
Did you see that in the film? Were they going on fourth down inside their territory?
Not necessarily. I mean, they did have a punter. I mean, we had worked on their formation and stuff, which was very similar to how we punted. We looked at their punt return. We went through all of their special teams, so it was a little bit of a surprise. Not opting to try to kick the field goal right there before halftime. I thought that was key for us, too, to keep them, you know, off the board and possibly having a lead going into the fourth quarter or going into the halftime. So we'll see, when we go back and watch some film, if there was maybe something that happened and we just didn't catch it, you know, as far as injury that they had. But, it was one of those situations where our guys just rose to the occasion and, you know, played well once we got down there in that red zone.
We talked about this in the pregame, trying to – to mock and trying to put in practice being able to mimic the kinds of things that they did, but it felt like again at the onset that was a little tough for us. I mean, obviously when you're talking about that veer, that split back veer, and they go under center, they've basically got 3 options, and there's a lot of misdirection. You don't know where the ball necessarily is. I thought the quarterback ran that offense really well, but it did. It took us a little bit of time to sort of get used to that speed, and it is hard to try to demonstrate that in the week of practice leading up to it, probably, isn't it?
I think you start with a line. You know, their line play, they weren't, necessarily really big kids up front. I thought we matched up with them very well. But they come off the ball. I mean, when he snaps that ball, they are gone. And, how quick and efficient it is. I had mentioned it earlier in the week on a couple of interviews. The Chad Smith, who's the head coach, they just hired a new offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Coach Setterly, I believe is his name, had been a head coach at Daniel High School back in the mid-90s. Won multiple state championships. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy knows how to call an offense. Mm-hmm. And they were very well disciplined. I was just very impressed watching them and how they ran things, the efficiency. And they didn't back down. Mm-hmm. I mean, they came right at you. I thought, you know, they ended up getting their fullback, got injured there right before halftime. Doesn't look like it was anything major, but keeping him out there in the second half and not playing him, I thought that was a big loss for them because he was certainly a good player on the defensive side as well. But just thought our kids rose to the occasion. I think that's probably what you would say.
Did you anticipate, you know, the bootlegs and the throws as much as what we saw last night out of their offense?
We didn't see it as much in the films, and they didn't necessarily have to. You know, we saw a lot of that on the fourth down plays, you know, leaking into the flats, things mm-hmm. like that. And, again, just very efficient in what they were doing. You know, didn't get in a real big hurry. Long drives, man. I tell you the one stat, I was laughing with our coaches last night. I'd walked in after I'd done the stat sheet and was going through getting ready for this morning. They had 69 offensive plays. We had 34.
Wow.
So they doubled us up on offensive plays. So I don't know what the time of possession
was, but it was
really lopsided.
Yeah.
But again, once the defense kind of got their backs to the wall down in the red zone, they were able to come up with some really big stops.
And given up only 7 points so far in the first three games.
7 points in the first three games. Just, you know, really done a great job there. And then, you know, on the other side offensively, we had some big scores, long runs. But, you know, it was one of those situations where we just needed a little bit of room and just needed to be able to block it just right. And once we hit it, we've certainly got some backs that can go.
So the thing we talked about last night that was really surprising, It felt like that they didn't have safeties on the field at all. I mean, once we were 7-8 yards deep into the play, there really wasn't anyone else there. Is it a set that they were running where they just, you know, had everybody up in the box? What was going on with that?
You did. You saw a lot of that, trying to load the box and being able to stop the run at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, people look at it and it's like, well, why don't you spread the ball out and, you know, get them out of the box? Well, when you get in situations like that, it's kind of twofold. If you do, then obviously you may be able to empty the box a little bit, but you might give them better angles.
Right.
You get them loaded up in the box. If you can get to that second level, get through that first wave, man, you can
make some. And we saw that all night.
You can make some big runs. So that was the case last night. We were able to get into that second level a few times, and when we did, we were able to take off and go.
Well, and the other thing, too, I mean, it's not like you didn't take some shots, because you did take some shots, you know, in the game, you know, looking for the deep ball some too. And we saw that work out. And that's something I think I've been most impressed with in terms of the progression of the offense the first, you know, two and a half games of the season is being able to spread things out when you want to. And that plays out well down the road too, because you want to, you know, be able to match up with people and you've got to do different things. And I think and you correct me if I'm wrong, you know, but one of the things that goes with an offense like we saw last night, I think certainly the one that we saw 2 weeks ago with Mountain Heritage, is, you know, once you get down, you know, offenses like that have a difficult time, in my opinion, really being able to put up a lot of points quickly.
Yeah, I mean, because you're used to just consecutive drives, consecutive plays, moving the chain. It's not like the offense isn't explosive, because the tailback that they had last week, I mean, the kid had, it was like 13 carries for 260-something yards. I mean, it was a phenomenal stat. He had over 200 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
But it was very similar. He was able to get into that second level and take off and go. And our guys did a really good job of limiting that on the defensive side. I mean, they had some, you know, 6- and 7-yard games at times, but never had anything that was, you know, 40 and 50 yards. I mean, kind of limited the big play and, you know, made them have long drives. And, you know, that does put an offense behind a little bit when they're trying to play catch up. But, again, just thought our kids rallied to the moment, you know, just really played hard after we got knocked down. And I thought our special teams were good last night. Luke did a great job on the extra points. And then the field goal, that was important for us to get that in there. It was just a good night for us.
When we go back and we talk, because we talk about this all the time, when we go back and we talk about adjustments, what does that look like at halftime, and what kinds of things are you looking at to especially defensively in terms of adjustments? Is it scheme? Is it placement? What is it that you typically look at when you make those adjustments?
Sometimes it's schemes. Sometimes it's effort. I mean, sometimes you have to challenge the kids and, you know, got to be able to give better effort. Like I said, sometimes it's schemes, and just if it's moving a lineman down to another gap, if it's you know, going to a different call with the coverage in the secondary, you know, so we can roll another one up into the box and be able to play a little bit stronger from it. It's just a couple of different things that, that you can do with it. Those guys do a really good job of coming out of the first half and being able to make some adjustments at halftime and being able to come back in and really do some good things. And offensively, the same type thing. I mean, you're going back in and you're looking, what were they giving us up front? How were they setting their defense up? You know, what were we getting on first down? And you look at tendencies, too. A lot of times you'll see teams that might like to stunt on first downs or, you know, come off the edge on second downs or different situations like that. So the big thing for us was being able to make some of those adjustments, challenge the kids at halftime. Yeah. Felt like we had the momentum, and really good to see us come out like we did in the second half.
Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
Wake up not feeling so great? Headache, congestion, sneezing, and it's 10 a.m. on a Sunday. Where do you go for care? Walk right into Haywood Urgent Care, with locations in Waynesville and Canton. Open 7 days a week with or without an appointment for the quick, compassionate care you need to feel better fast. So whether it's a cold, sunburn, food poisoning, cuts, scrapes, or sprains, Haywood Urgent Care is here to help. To learn more, visit myhaywoodregional.com/urgentcare. Hey, Pisgah grads, if you graduated in the years of 1967 through 1979, listen up. It's the Glory Days multi-year Pisgah class reunion, October 23rd at the American Legion Hall in Waynesville from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. All proceeds go to flood relief efforts here in Haywood County. There will be food, drinks, and a silent auction, plus live music from the Cat 5 Band from 4 to 7. Tickets are $10 and can be purchased at the Hometown Hardware Flooring and Design Center. Mark your calendar for October 23rd for the Pisgah Glory Days multi-year class reunion.
Coach, I want to go in a little bit to, you know, our circumstances once again. Our first sort of, you know, semi or quasi first game being hosted at Inca last night. So for those that weren't able to attend, you know, basically it's all of our stuff and all of our people like we would be if we were, you know, down the road here, except we're in somebody else's building. Of course, the support structures and all those kinds of things have to be there, and, you know, the use of their facilities. But it felt to me like the things went really well. I thought there was a lot of energy, particularly out of, you know, out of the crowd and the players, you know, at halftime and going into that second half. And that really made a big difference. And again, you know, a lot of people showed up, made that 15-20 minute trip, whatever it is, from their house over to Inc. And that gives your team a lot of energy too. And part of the reason why I think we're at 3-0 right now.
I was really, really pleased with how smooth things were yesterday once we got into the stadium. You know, I think our administration did a really good job on, you know, the setup and getting everything taken care of, from the parking to, you know, how it was managed once you got into the stadium. You know, from the gatekeepers to all of those things. The Booster Club was there, had the booster tent set up. They were selling last night. The press box people, you know, were taking care of everything up there. We had our own chain crew. Just really pleased with the venue. Really good setting. I thought we had a great crowd. And that stadium, especially on that home side, I guess it's because you've got that bank in behind you. You can really get loud. Yeah. We noticed it a couple of times last night where it was just really bouncing off of those bleachers. You know, and I just, it was nice. I commented to the reporter, one of the reporters after the game, and it was the first time that I got a chance just to look around and see kids on the field, student section, kids on the field celebrating.
Yeah.
And being out there, being a part. It's been 2 years since we've been able to do that, you know, and it was really good to see, you know, enjoying that moment with our students and faculty, obviously, that was there and community. That was a big deal. I'm really, really glad that we, you know, picked that venue to go to play at. I know we'll go to Irwin the next few home games once we get a chance to move on through the season, but thought at least for last night that was really good.
Did you – you know, in terms of the approach, you were going through the day, you know, feeding the players, you know, having a chance to you know, we visit churches and have meals and prayer? Are you able to do all those kinds of things that you would typically do, or is it a little bit different, or do you just treat it kind of just outright as an away game because you're making that trip?
You know, as far as itinerary goes, you kind of treat it like it's an away game, but you try to schedule things that you can make it as normal as you can. We went down to Canton First Baptist yesterday. They fed us, enjoyed that time being down at the church with them, came back, you know, was able to get changed and dressed. We actually put the buses on the other side of the bridge, and we had a bridge walk. We let the kids walk across the bridge like we were going into the stadium, and loaded the buses up, and then, you know, went on from there. I know Coach Wright, you know, had a nice little speech there before we left Canton First Baptist, and, you know, talked about the importance of the community and how people, you know, kind of look to the football program to have a little bit of you know, excitement and, you know, get their minds off things. And so it was really good. It was good to be able to hear that from him. And, you know, just spent some good time there at the church yesterday. And I felt like I got off schedule just a little bit. I got a little bit behind, you know, trying to get us across the bridge and on the buses. And but at the end of it, felt like it was worth it to do that. You know, I talked to the captains beforehand and just said, listen, guys, this is something that's been brought up. What do you guys think? And they were all about it. They wanted to do it. And so we got it set up and, you know, got there, got to Inca in plenty enough time, kind of got set up there, and we had to get adjusted to going down through the stands. We haven't done that before, and, you know, we went down there as the game started, but we decided not to come back up, you know, at halftime and stay down. So it's just little adjustments like that that people don't think about, but things that you have to have conversations about to kind of get your team, you know, situated in the best possible position you can be as far as getting them ready for the next half. You know, doing things like that. But all in all, I thought it went off pretty good.
Tell me about your thoughts at this point. Obviously, you got, you know, half of the games played now in terms of teams from out of state, and your thoughts on how that's going. And one thing, because I wanted to bring this up, you know, we saw a lot of teams not play yesterday, whether that was because it was their, you know, bye week to begin with, or because of COVID, there was even more cancellations, you know, throughout the state. The other thing that I noticed in looking at the schedule, the state schedule, was more teams playing out-of-state opponents than I can ever remember. You know, Hendersonville now playing, you know, Daniel, very good program in South Carolina. You saw Reynolds down at Raven Gap. I told Dad, we talked about this on the radio last night, New Bern High School on the coast made a 3-hour trip to play a team at Norfolk, Virginia. And so across the state, teams are going out of state to find these opponents. Is that a trend that you know, feel okay with, and do you see that continuing, at least for us?
You know, our situation was a little different. This wasn't a game that we just picked up. This was a game we've had on schedule. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to play them last fall, and of course South Carolina had the season in the fall and we didn't, so we couldn't make it match. You know, and of course Davy Crockett, they were going to play in a couple of weeks, was a pickup, you know, this past off season as well. But a lot of these teams that were playing, South Carolina teams last night, were late pickups. So you had mentioned Daniel and Hendersonville. Hendersonville was supposed to play Mountain Heritage.
Right.
Obviously wasn't able to do that. Quick pickup for Coach Sosby and his bunch. Murphy played Rabun County last night, and they were playing against the number one quarterback in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just trying to find games for your kids. Because you just don't know when the next one is. So, I mean, we could have very easily not picked up a game, you know, and kept the open date. But, you know, the way that we looked at it was, if we do that and we short our kids a game, you know, what's that saying?
Yeah.
Because you just don't know. How long is the season going to last? You know, we're hopeful that we're going to be able to finish the season. But what if we can't? And we don't want to sit back and say, you know, we had an opportunity to add a game and we chose not to, instead of going out there, and no matter who it was.
Right.
You know, it was like picking up Crest, you know, after we lost the Brevard game early. I don't think I probably would have went out and have sought out Crest to have played, especially that early in week one.
Yeah.
But you know what? At the end of the day, we're just trying to get games for our kids. Same thing with the JVs. I mean, we played North Henderson. We're going to end up playing them twice. And appreciative of Jim Beattie and his staff for, you know, doing that. And, you know, they're going to come to us the next time.
Right.
But at this point and where we're at in, I think, in NCHSAA and North Carolina High School Athletic Association, where we're at with all of this stuff going on, you better take advantage of the opportunity if you can, because you don't know when it's going to come back.
Yeah, yeah. Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
Come take a short trip out to 761 Champion Drive in Canton to Pisgah Family Barbershop, where your hometown barber Ken has been cutting your neighbor's hair for over 50 years. Ken provides haircuts for the entire family. Also visit Hometown Wellness. They offer therapeutic massage, deep tissue massage, hot stone cupping, and reflexology, all aiding with pain management, sports injuries, and more, helping to improve mobility and overall wellness. Call Hometown Wellness at 593-1137 for more information.
Back with the Brett Chappell Show this morning, Coach. Wanted to go back to some of the specifics from both from last night. Talk a little bit about the JV game, of course. Again, going 3-0 with the JV program, another a good night and another big win for the team there as well. Total program wise, and you're looking around at so many programs that may just only have a single program. You've got two programs right now that are 6-0.
Yeah,
total.
Just really, really good on both programs. Obviously sitting there at 3-0, giving yourself a chance to, maybe have an undefeated season. Obviously, we still got a long ways to go, but making some really good progress. Looking at the stats from Friday night's game, we had 377 yards offense. They had 347. We had 11 first downs. They had 19. They never punted. So those stats are probably going to be a little bit skewed because of that. I think we had 5 fourth down stops. The how many plays they had compared to ours was double, but we had 3 100 yard rushers and only gave up 7 points defensively, which I think is phenomenal. You look at the JV game on Thursday. Those guys had a good game. They had 444 yards of offense, 16 first downs, and we gave up 278 and 13 first downs to a team that loved to throw the ball.
Right.
So, I think both programs are certainly at a good place right now. Obviously, still got room for improvement as we get ready to start conference. But, all of those little things like that you get to watch on the Thursdays lead up to how they play on Fridays as well. Had a really good pregame meal with those kids on Thursday as well. We had the Hensleys came in and fed the boys. It's Dylan and Robbie's mom and dad. And that was a game that we didn't have scheduled, and they were able to, jump up to the plate and help us out with that and feed the kids. Had some really good barbecue, and, very appreciative of those people for helping out. And it's just little things like that, I think the kids sometimes forget how good maybe we have it. But in times like this, it's nice to be able to have people that are willing to jump in and help us out when we get in a little bit of a bind. And, again, these kids are playing at a high level. It's exciting to watch, our JVs and varsity play right now. And we'll start conferences coming week and, big games coming up for us. Got all our goals still ahead of us. And, we'll go out and hopefully have a good week of practice getting ready for those games.
First of all, before I go into that real quick, do you see any changes right now in terms of the schedule? Anything that's changed at all since, the last week or two for either program? No.
Not for us right now. We're in a good place. All the games are filled. All the way through the rest of the way, I'm almost positive we're going to have something come up and some hurdle we're going to have somewhere. I'm hopeful that it's not going to be on our end, but it's inevitable. Yeah. I mean, with everything that's going on and the way everything's trending, you're going to have some type of hiccup somewhere that you're going to have to overcome when it comes to the COVID stuff and scheduling. But right now we're at a good place, and we'll continue to move forward.
And tell me your thoughts about Smoky Mountain. Obviously things get bigger this week going into the first game of the conference for both teams.
Obviously first game conference game coming in, got 7 teams in the conference, so you got to go 6 weeks. The big thing for us is it's first conference game. It certainly doesn't dictate how the rest of your season is going to go from a win or a loss column. It's certainly important. It kind of sets the tone as we move through. But, we've gone into this game before and not won the game and then turned around and came back out of it and was able to win a conference championship. So it's not the – you look at it and you say, well, we got to do this, we got to do that. We've just got to go out and play good football. And I think the things that we've done in the past, you know, couple of weeks, I think we've progressed and got better
quickly
each week.
I think, haven't we?
Yeah, and I think it's important that we had the game last night, gave ourselves a chance to, you know, find some success there. Really like the way we handled the adversity. I think that's going to bode well for us, you know, going into the second part of the season, what we say going into your conference play. And, you know, we'll get in, watch some film on Sunday as a staff and set the plate for the week and get these kids ready to go on Thursday and Friday.
Real quick, health-wise, coming out of last night.
Had one injury last night, and didn't come from last night, but we held one of our players out that will be back on Monday, so we'll get him back. And, you know, just hopefully a good week. I know I wanted to mention our volleyball team had a really big win against Tuscola. JV's in varsity, and so excited for those ladies as well as they, I think they move on to 6-1 or 5-1 in the season, something like that. So they've had a good season as well, and, you know, certainly Peyton plays on that team, and, you know, been doing the girls have been doing a really good job, so it's exciting to see them play, and hopefully they get a couple of home games in, home matches. We'll get some good student section in there and show good support for them as well.
Absolutely. Again, we will be back on the air next week at 6:30 with the Black Bear Cafe preview. Again, that game, varsity game, at Irwin High School against Smoky Mountain again. So 6:30 airtime with the Black Bear Cafe preview, 7 o'clock game call over there as well. And then we'll be right back here at Riverview for the Brett Chappell Show next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. For head coach Brett Chappell, this is Chad Upton. Till next week, so long, everybody.
You've been listening to The Brett Chappell Show, brought to you this morning by Hometown Wellness, Pisgah Family Barbershop, Smathers & Smathers, Attorneys at Law, Haywood Regional Medical Center, and by Hometown Hardware. Join us again next Saturday morning at 8, and stay tuned for The Flea Market with Mike Bryson next here on WPTL.